Revenge game for Wilson, it would take some balls to take him off the field for some plays there. You know it's going to be such an emotionally charged situation for him.
Mm-hmm.
And Tomlin feeds into emotion with players a lot because he thinks it gets the best out of them.
I would be willing to bet that inside the first five offensive snaps of the Denver game, forget about it, what even Wilson does, as long as he doesn't get a season-ending injury against Atlanta, Tomlin will make sure that Arthur Smith dials up a play-action shot where Wilson can throw it about 50 yards down the field.
And he might even plan for farther, because with the altitude, Mulsey, you could really get into a throw there. I mean, at sea level, maybe you could only throw that ball 50 yards, but you might be able to get it 70 at Mile High.
Can you imagine if Pickett had been drafted by the Broncos?
Who?
Pickett.
Oh.
Totally different ball game. He could have stretched those fingers out.
I was going to say, do you swell up at altitude? Could the hands get bigger?
I always thought one golfer they just played out there for the PGA Tour had a random nosebleed. His nose just started pouring blood on the first hole because
I've never been to Denver. My cousin lives there. I owe her a trip. I still have not been. Have you been?
Yeah. When I was a kid, I was a little kid. I was like seven. The sky there was the bluest sky I have ever seen.
But how about the thin air? Do you feel, are you trying to suck wind?
I wasn't like running up steps or anything. I'd have to go back as an adult, but I'm sure, yes, you'd feel it a little bit.
Fan Hotline's presented by Sullivan Super Service. It's time for All Access with Aditi, brought to you by Bet365, the NFL on CBS reporter. Aditi, do you feel the thin air in Denver when you go?
You do.
Yeah.
I didn't feel my bracelet.
Oh, someone else is feeling right now.
I'm so sorry about that.
Have you had to deal with nosebleeds too? Like, I've had those in Vegas where the air's so dry.
No, that hasn't happened to me, but I do remember a long time ago, I think it was a playoff game, in fact, having to race from one end of the stadium to the other, and at the end being a little bit winded, like running through the bowels of the stadium. Ooh. And this is at the time when I was in what I thought was like my best shape. And I remember thinking, why am I so winded? And it was someone reminding me, it's the altitude. That's
why you're winded. Do players tell you all the time that it is demonstrably more difficult to play there than other road venues?
No. Not really.
Really?
I mean, I heard more complaints, frankly, about a place like Miami, where the visiting team is in the full hot sun and the home team has shade.
Like when Jay Ajayi was running for 400 yards and Lawrence Timmons was throwing up in the end zone. I was there for that game.
Could be. Yeah. Yes, sort of to that end.
And AB was jogging back to the huddle and Ben was ripping him a new one. That was a good time. I was there for that.
All the things that you remember. My goodness.
Aditi, so Russell Wilson, worst kept secret. He's the starter. Tomlin now teasing a package of plays, gimmick plays against Atlanta. Do you think that this is gamesmanship, or do you really think he's going to take Russ off the field to get Fields in there for snaps against the Falcons?
I think that would be the smart thing to do. I mean, has Russell Wilson shown enough over the course of the last 3 years and this entire camp to make you think you can never take the ball out of his hands? This goes back to when we used to talk about this in the press box all the time. Why don't you use Josh Dobbs in a package? And if you're never going to run a quarterback sneak with Ben Roethlisberger, then at least throw Josh Dobbs in for something like that. Of course, never happened, but the argument then was, well, Ben Roethlisberger is far and away one of the best players on the field, and why would you take the ball out of his hands? I don't know that Russ has necessarily proven that he's the only person that could make things
go. So you're going to take Mike at face value here on this one, then?
Why not? I mean, but I also think that he's done this unbelievable troll job, I will tell you that, with all of this. You know, come on. From the time that Russell Wilson was signed, we knew that he was the starter. That's why he signed as quickly as he signed. That's why he chose the Steelers right then, as opposed to waiting to see who was going to get a quarterback hurt and who would desperately need someone.
Aditi, this connects a little bit to who's playing quarterback, just because Fields is a little more mobile, obviously. But Isaac Seumalo, it seems, according to Adam Schefter, that the Steelers might have dodged a bullet. Those are Schefter's words about it being a season-ending pec injury, but still might be a weeks-long or even a months-long thing with Seumalo, apparently. If he is out, how much does that hurt their line? How much have you heard from people about like his overall level of skill and what he means to them?
You know what? This is one of those that when I don't know the answer, I should just tell you, I don't actually know. I'm not as well-versed on that at the moment, and I apologize.
That's fine.
But I'm in general, Broncos Seahawks mode.
Fair enough. I can ask you something else, though, in general, that I think is just a broad question about O-lines. When you have as many moving parts as the Steelers have had to have, with Fautanu not playing and Jones still playing the position I don't think they have earmarked for him long term, whenever you've talked to coaches about having to shift so many pieces around in that group, like, what's the biggest challenge that they've told you happens or comes from that? Like, is communication, just guys who aren't as good? Like, what do you think's the biggest impediment when a team has to move that many pieces around in a five-man grouping?
I mean, that's exactly it, right? There's no unit on the field that relies on communication and chemistry more than the offensive line. And as much as you want to say, okay, well, individual skill or talent translates into something, of course you need reps together. That's it. Like, at some point, it's about having that time together. When we talk about the Steelers having one of the best lines when they had Pouncey and DeCastro and Al and Marcus and Ramon Foster, a lot of that was about cumulative reps. So, but again, this is not, I mean, let's go around the division. The Ravens are going to have three new starters on that offensive line, and John Harbaugh isn't even telling anyone yet who they are. Let's look at the Cleveland Browns. I mean, they haven't had anybody playing tackle.
Yep.
Exactly. And none of what they expect to be their starting five. Jed Wills hasn't played. Their left tackle hasn't played at all during camp, although he's about to now start this week. Jack Conklin, also their right tackle, hasn't played at all. Now, Joel Bitonio is as veteran of a guard as they come and doesn't necessarily need those preseason reps with everybody else, but Ethan Pochick, the center, was hurt for a little while. When you talk about all five, those five having a group, having reps together, they haven't yet at all.
Aditi, I'm going to ask
and
you
they haven't played with Deshaun Watson in the preseason either. So
I'm one of those people who's
saying all of this to be like, look, everybody's kind of dealing with
this. I know, but I hate giving them any other team credit for their problems and worrying about. I only worry about my own, and always my team's problems are way worse than anybody else's.
Magnified than anybody else's.
I agree with Malzie.
Like the Ravens are going to figure it out. The Browns are somehow going to figure it out, and the Steelers, I'm on pins and needles. That's how my brain works.
Aditi, I'm going to ask you a hard question here. Do you talk to people in the NFL who think that, and this is something that obviously became a big talking point when Rudolph went in and Pickett went to the sideline, this idea where Fields gets to watch the game. He's not playing, he's watching. He was almost thrown right in Chicago. He played a lot as a young guy in his early 20s. Do you get the sense from talking to people that watching from the sideline will help Justin Fields big picture as a starting quarterback in the NFL?
I mean, people say that a lot when you've got a young quarterback, and this is a whole conversation I had with one of my colleagues yesterday about whether they're served or not by sitting or whether you throw them right in there. Justin Fields has already seen a lot of football. He's participated in a lot of football. He's faced a lot of defenses. So I think that there's a little bit less so where he can learn is wearing the headset and getting acclimated to the play calls coming in, to the managing of a script or going off script. And being in that environment can certainly be helpful. I just don't think it's, okay, this is going to make a night and day difference.
I'm going to give you a couple wide receiver names who are free agents. You are now well-traveled in the NFL. If somebody called the Didi and said, hey, the Steelers are kicking the tires on Kadarius Toney, would you say good idea or bad idea, and why?
So I personally really like Kadarius Toney, and I remember having a conversation with Andy Reid last year, week 18, and I said to him, you don't really give up on players, do you? And he said, you know, I try not to. And he said, Toney really is a good kid. And that's good, but I also feel like when you're thinking about what the Steelers wide receiver room needs right now, they need more of an Amari Cooper and less of a Kadarius Toney.
Well, Amari Cooper's aren't available unless you take the report that he was almost traded to San Francisco to heart.
Which he was not available, and that was not reality, but okay.
Malzie has tried to convince me on this guy, and I think he's done a rather good job at it. Terrace Marshall from Carolina got cut. You've been around them, right? Where do you come down on him as a potential prospect?
I saw him late. Did I see him? Was he hurt? I saw Carolina late in the season last year. I don't know enough yet. I'd have to, but if you give me a little time, I'll do some digging.
All right, last one.
And I can certainly find out.
Before Pony gives you the last one, I don't want you to, like, you don't have to slag an organization, but it does seem from afar like Carolina's got a lot of dysfunction right now. It's just an unsettled place. Is that one of those spots when guys are out of that situation right now, you do wonder if maybe it holds some players back, at least in some cases?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I would, and I, not that I want to slander Carolina in any way or cast aspersions on them, but I'll tell you that, I'll give you the example of Baker Mayfield. He went through, you know, being ditched by Carolina, being ditched by Cleveland, and then going to Carolina, that being an abject mess, going to L.A. And I remember in his free agency, he said to me, the number one most important thing to him is finding an organization that is well-run from the top down. And that mattered more than anything else. That's what he thought he found in Tampa Bay, and he's just a different guy now. You know, he had a show-me year. He got a new deal. He is the unequivocal leader. I think that those things absolutely do make a difference.
And that's what we're hoping happens with Russell Wilson here. Last one, Noah Brown in Houston got cut. We were surprised by that, even though they had a lot of good wide receivers. Productive there last year, seemed to make it work with C.J. Stroud. A numbers game in Houston. I like him, Aditi, especially given the Steelers' lack of depth at wide receiver.
I think that might be sort of a low-cost, low-risk option. But, again, I wish that you guys would message me and say, hey, get well-versed on the
Terrace
wide receiver
Marshall,
market
I mean,
right
ignore
now.
The rest of what he said to you. Just, I need a lot of Terrace Marshall dirt.
I mean, we're not talking about Jerry Rice and T.O., Aditi. Those guys are available, but they're closer to 50 and 60 now. All right, good stuff. We'll talk again
all
next
right,
week.
All right, guys, I'm sorry.
All good. Bye now.
All right, we'll talk soon. Bye.
Yeah, Aditi. At 3:15, it's time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia, see what they can do for you. Mike Florio, who said the Steelers would be crazy to not start Justin Fields, is going to join us at 3:30. Decision became official today. It is Russell Wilson. And we'll see how long Russell Wilson keeps that job. We talked to Jeff Hathorn last hour. He said the Steelers are looking for players to add to their practice squad. Several teams are announcing their practice squads today. That made me feel like the Steelers are not really going after guys who they think are good enough to be on their active roster. And that says a couple of things. Either a stunning belief in their own guys at places like wide receiver and corner. Or it speaks volumes about how little they think of the guys who were cut by other teams and their ability to come here and be improvements or upgrades over.
Like quickly assimilate into whatever they're trying to do here.
Yeah. But, I mean, the assimilation thing is bunk because Tomlin has clearly signed off on them making moves on a day like today in the past. I mean, that's been a hallmark of even Colbert.
What positions has he tried to do that with in the past? Has it been limited to certain ones in your like remembrance of things? Because I think there's positions on the football field that I think it's easier to just step in day one for a new team. You're coming in at running back. I don't think it's that hard. You pick up a couple basic pass protections and you run
Donnie,
the ball.
Donnie, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Vance McDonald one of those guys who was traded for like
very late
8 or 9 days before the season started?
I thought so.
They got wind. They got wind that he was available and either might be cut.
Didn't they trade for Nick Vanette? Vanette.
Nick Vanette's another one. Baby Gronk.
He sucked so bad.
The baby Gronk before the baby Gronk on Instagram, who everybody hates.
And August 29th, 2017, they traded McDonald to the Steelers.
Right. Exactly.
So almost actually a year to the day tomorrow, or 7 years to the day. You know what I mean?
So I mean that's tight end. I mean is that really a plug? That's really not a plug and place position. In fact, it's one of the more complicated positions because you've got blocking and
I was not asking it to lead the witness. I was throwing myself at the feet of your memory on this.
Like
stuff.
I get it. They don't have. There's no Joe Haydens available. Okay. There's no manna from heaven, former Pro Bowler, former top 15 pick, who the tanking Browns just cut and don't trade because they want to free themselves of the contract and they want to lose as many games as possible. So, you know, that situation is probably never going to happen again for the Steelers. I'm just surprised that there's no middle ground on that where they look at their 53-man roster and think, all right, this guy hasn't been in our system for the summer, but clearly he's either shown he can be a good player in the past, or...
How does Terrace Marshall not get on their radar? He's an LSU guy. Tomlin loves big school guys.
Well, Noah Brown's an Ohio State guy. We know how enamored he is with the Ohio State
players. Both, they're both big-time football factories, both of which have produced a lot of good wide receivers in very recent years. Marshall just looks the part. So does Noah Brown. They're both big dudes. Like, you look at Van Jefferson, and you look at right now Calvin Austin, and you look at Scotty Miller, and you say, this is good enough? This is cool? We're copacetic here? I know the rest of the league did the same routine with Terrace Marshall, but still, like, I'm baffled by
Chris, look at their moves other than offensive line. Look at the moves of the players they brought in at skill positions, and they all have one thing in common. They used to work for Arthur Smith. Cordarrelle Patterson used to work for Arthur Smith.
Michael Pruitt.
Michael Pruitt used to work for Arthur Smith.
Van Jefferson.
Scotty Miller.
Yeah, why don't they make the whole plane out of guys who used to work for Arthur Smith? Can we get a couple FedEx drivers to come in here?
I understand having faith in and wanting to empower a new offensive play caller, especially given how badly it went with the last guy. But just his retreads in recyclables do not appeal to me whatsoever. Of those guys, I don't believe any of them are going to have a real tangible impact on them being a better offensive football team this year.
I think the guy who has the best chance of impacting them positively is Cordarrelle Patterson on kickoffs.
Me too. Yep. And maybe he will get out there in his old stomping grounds if Warren can't give it a go. And he ends up your backup running back behind Najee Harris.
He was a fantasy football savior a couple of years ago for old Malzahn.
Oh, because you could play him at multiple positions.
We just tossed old Cordarrelle out there and just let him eat.
I had a debate last night in a fantasy league with my buddy, and we were talking about Taysom Hill, because in the league we're using, he's listed as a tight end, and he's like, do we think Taysom Hill might start some games at quarterback this year for New Orleans? Probably not.
You know who's going to start. Big Spencer Rattler.
Because of Derek Carr, and they do have Rattler there, but you never know. There's always the possibility with him getting thrown in there.
He's always like a guy, if you run into injury at tight end or like flex or something, I kind of
toss him in there.
Yeah, like when it is like, I don't know, week 9 or 10, like you're actually getting to the – crunch time of the fantasy season, you need a guy to pick up. There's not much out there.
He's a guy that wins a game. He'll wins a game for somebody that like breaks somebody else in the league's back.
Right, because, I mean, they'll throw him in there on the goal line. He'll just score a touchdown.
He's a vulture. Let me ask you guys very quickly. I read this. I saw this on, like, you know, some Twitter post that I thought was very funny. I guess a guy started a fantasy league that had more or less standard scoring with one extreme exception. A quarterback making a tackle was worth 100 points. So if your quarterback made a tackle after a turnover,
your team got
100 points.
Could you imagine?
They said it decided the most matchups almost every
week. Man, Jameis Winston had to be the number one pick in that draft the year he threw 30 interceptions because he was putting up touchdowns,
too. I feel like that would appeal to both of you, especially you, Pony. You'd go back and look up quarterback tackling statistics.
Listen to this.
Incredible.
I know people hate hearing details about fantasy teams, so I'm not going to talk about my fantasy team. I'm in a draft tonight. It's 24 teams.
Oh, God.
It's 24 teams. And you start only four positions with a four-position bench, and it's only wide receivers, running backs, and tight ends, and it's four flex positions. You just start four flex positions. You have a four-person bench. There are no quarterbacks, no defenses, no kickers. And
that's,
it's a 24-person league.
That's extreme.
And it's an auction. I don't even know how to prepare for something like that.
Sicko stuff right there.
Yeah.
That I even hear like free agent auction budget for like waiver claims and get sick to my stomach. I just give me the big dumbed down version of fantasy. I don't need any of that.
On a Wednesday, that means it's time to talk to Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. He is brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Mike Tomlin made it official. It's going to be Russell Wilson at quarterback. How long of a leash do you think Wilson will have as the Steelers QB1?
I think fairly long, just because I don't think Mike Tomlin likes to go back and revisit his decisions. He likes to be resolute. He likes to be firm, and he likes to give his decisions a chance to prove that he was right. When you look at the schedule, the way I think it plays out, they've got the bye after week 8 at the Giants, which will be the third standalone primetime game in 4 weeks. Week 5, Cowboys at home. Week 7, Jets at home. Week 8 at the Giants. Bye after that. I think if they're 3-5 or worse, that would be a perfect time to switch to Russell Wilson, or excuse me, to Justin Fields. And if they're 4-4 or better, I think Russ continues to take them into really the heart of the schedule when they have the division game starting week 11. So I think that he at least gets the first half of the season, and then we see where they are at the bye.
Mike, I think it's fair, whether people believe this is the right decision or not, to say that Wilson is higher floor, lower ceiling, and Fields is higher ceiling, lower floor as a player in terms of turnovers or everything else. It seems like Tomlin has all along wanted to make the conservative choice here. In your opinion, does just conservative kind of offensive mindset really work in the NFL?
Well, yes, when you have a great defense, when you have a running game, and when you have a quarterback who can use that higher floor and lower ceiling to the team's advantage. I think Russell Wilson won the job with that throw on 3rd and 11 to George Pickens. It was as loud as I've heard a preseason crowd anywhere based on what was coming through the TV. And when Russ delivered that ball and they scored a touchdown not long after that and he's out of the game, that's it. He's got it. And I think for Justin Fields, when he overthrew that pass week 2 against Buffalo, guys wide open for a touchdown, shot out of a cannon to try to jump up and get it and can't even get a hand on it. I think that's what made it clear to Mike Tomlin. So I think you're right. The floor is higher, and I'm not convinced the ceiling is much lower. You know, Justin Fields gives you some exciting moments with his legs, but once Russ is set loose, he might be able to do a little bit of that himself. It could be that they're being deliberately careful after he had that calf injury. And injury is the other thing, too. Whoever the starter is, chance guy's going to get hurt. Justin Fields got hurt last year. Russ could get banged up. It's good to have the other guy ready to go.
Mike, from what you're hearing, do you think that Fields will still be a part of the offense even with Russell Wilson as the starting quarterback?
I remember when they traded for Justin Fields and we viewed it as a no-brainer that Russell Wilson would be the starter. The thinking was they'll find ways to get Justin Fields on the field, kind of like Cordell Stewart back in 1995, his second season, the year the Steelers went to the Super Bowl. O'Donnell was the quarterback, and that was when Slash was born. So I think that you always want to get your best 11 players on the field. And I think Justin Fields, you know, he's got that explosiveness to him. With Jaylen Warren injured, especially early in the season, with the hamstring injury he suffered, I think it makes sense to find ways to get Justin Fields out there and get the ball in his hands from time to time. Not a lot, but from time to time.
They still only have Pickens and then a bunch of relative no-names at wide receiver. We were talking about this. I know yesterday a very busy day at Pro Football Talk because of roster cutdowns, Mike, and everything else. When you see certain guys who at least have some pedigree, either first or second round picks in the past, just pass through waivers completely unclaimed, do you ever kind of scratch your head at why that might be? Because I'll tell you who we did it with. One name was Terrace Marshall, LSU guy. They produce wide receivers coming from Dysfunction Junction there in Carolina. And nobody made a claim on him. Can you ever give us insight as to why sometimes these guys who seem like they might be worth a shot don't get one in that situation or don't get claimed by anybody?
Sometimes it's the salary, especially a first-round pick, 4-year guaranteed salary like a Kadarius Toney. If you claim him on waivers, you owe him every penny of what he's due to make that year. And the other side of it, too, the farther down a guy is on the depth chart, the more likely it is he's going to be expected to contribute on special teams. So the bigger the name, the bigger the player, is that a guy that's happily going to do all the little grunt work that you can see a young guy, an undrafted guy, a rookie, you know, seventh rounder happily do? I think that's part of it as well. You're farther down on the depth chart, and you're expected to embrace things that maybe somebody that's accustomed to being high on the depth chart thinks is beneath him.
Mike, do you expect the Steelers to kick the tires on Kadarius Toney?
I think if Andy Reid can't get the most out of a guy, no one can.
Mm-hmm.
I know every head coach likes to think he's the one that's finally going to get through to somebody who, in Toney's case, it seems like he's never really loved the game. He's never really fully focused. He's never really been a guy to maximize his talent and ability, because the talent, I think, infatuated the Giants, obviously. And then the Chiefs thought they stole him from the Giants, and they were more patient with him than they should have been. But I would go in the other direction, unless and until there's something that makes me convinced this guy's finally gotten the wake-up call that he hasn't, even though the phone's been ringing and ringing for the past 3 years. I would be concerned. But, you know, somebody may be infatuated by the talent. And maybe he has to go somewhere like on the practice squad, and he's got to humble himself to that and accept that. And if he's willing to do that, that's kind of the litmus test as to whether or not his mindset has changed. He may not be interested in going to anyone. He may be interested in just moving on from the sport altogether. Who knows?
In rapping, he does that on the side as Young Joker, Malzi.
Young Joker.
Yeah.
Yes.
He really likes to drop the mic, huh?
Mm.
Mike, let me throw this at you, because I like it when other teams in the division are dealing with at least their own miseries. The Steelers have a pec injury situation now with Isaac Seumalo. Who knows what that's going to materialize into as far as time missed. What's going on now with Ja'Marr Chase? Zach Taylor said he was going to practice. Then he shows up in street clothes today, and he's just walking around. Do we think anything potentially ugly ends up taking place there now?
I think if he doesn't get a new contract by next Thursday, that's when Joe Burrow got his deal last year. If a deal isn't done with Ja'Marr Chase by then, that's when it potentially gets ugly. Now, I think he plays, but I think we also hear a lot of stuff about frustrations, about dealing with the Bengals, about positions they've taken during this period of time where he's been with the team and not practicing. So, you know, I look at the Cowboys. They were always going to pay CeeDee Lamb. Why the hell did you wait so long to do it? And that same mindset applies to the 49ers with Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams, and it applies to the Bengals with Ja'Marr Chase. You know you're going to do it. Just go ahead and do it. Now, the thing that the Bengals might be thinking is, even though we're eventually going to do it and it's going to cost us more the longer we wait, we still get a fourth year at about $5 million out of Ja'Marr Chase. And that's a pretty good deal if you can get it. And I think that's what the Bengals would like to do. I just don't know that they can pull it off.
Mike, so do you expect Brandon Ayuk to be on the 49ers roster week one?
Yeah, I think at this point, if he was going to be traded, he would be traded. Good luck getting him up to speed quickly. Why are you going to give anything up of value, significant value, to get him and to pay him if you know week one, where's he really going to be from a mindset standpoint? The offense, the playbook, the teammates, the coaching staff, moving cross country. You know, there was an opening for the Commanders that apparently came up last week. I just feel like the 49ers are waiting for the right moment to make their bottom line offer. And once they do, it's going to be something that IU will take. That's what I feel like is going on. But you never know. I mean, the 49ers, cheap to a fault. And sometimes they will nickel and dime, and sometimes they will drag their feet. They've typically gotten them done recently, but Trent Williams isn't there yet. There was some noise last week. Maybe that deal was going to get done, and it hasn't gotten done, and Ayuk still hasn't gotten done. So I still don't rule out the 49ers screwing this whole thing up and making it harder for them to finally punch through to a Super Bowl and win it.
I know Mike Florio is not the college football fan that he was, say, 20 years ago. Will he take 5 minutes to watch Penn State, West Virginia this weekend, or no? Is that sport entirely dead to you?
Oh, no, I'll watch it. I'll watch it. I don't enjoy it as much as I used to. I'm enjoying it more because the players are finally starting to get some compensation for the effort that they expend. I've been in my life to two West Virginia Penn State games. And they were the only two games that West Virginia has won in the series in, what, 70 years, 1984 and 1988. So yeah. I probably should go. They'll win if I go. I mean, you know, that's a pretty big sample size.
Mike, I'll be there with pepperoni rolls and bourbon if you're interested. We can organize a
commiserate
meetup.
There.
Might need the bourbon. Might need, but who knows? Maybe there's a chance. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe there's a chance to beat them.
Mike, better chance that Deion Sanders gets Colorado to the playoff now that it's 12 teams, or that within 3 years he is the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys?
Better chance he gets him to the playoff. I don't think he's going to go to the NFL. He's consistently said he doesn't want to. And the way he's conducted himself recently, he'll never make it as an NFL head coach. You can't be that thin-skinned. You can't freeze out reporters. And it's obvious what he's doing. And it would be so much easier for him to just answer the tough questions with a smile than get into these back and forth with the reporter as to why would you want to ask a question like that. I'm for as great of a player as he was, and he's an all-time great, it really is sad to see him act in a way that is so obviously overly sensitive and unwilling to tolerate any scrutiny, any criticism. It's not the way it works when you're media covering a team. You got to ask tough questions sometimes, and the coach just has to find a way to answer them and move on.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, PFT Live. Mike, thanks so much. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys.